Lesson 23, Defeat on Gilboa. And the battle went sore against Saul. In this lesson, we follow Saul as he sinks to his lowest depths in seeking out the Witch of Endor. Finally, he receives the reward of his iniquity, death at the hands of the despised Philistines. Saul should have recognized that his jealousy of David was a symptom of hurt pride and not allowed it to grow. Instead, he refused to accept the will of God in exalting David and went from bad to worse, bringing shame on the name of the God of Israel and on himself. So the lesson warns us that the carnal mind must be put to death. If evil thoughts are nurtured over the years, they can take control of us, and then it may be impossible for us to forsake them. Compare 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 5, Philippians 4, verse 8, Isaiah 55, verse 7, and Proverbs 23, verse 7. On the other hand, David continued to endure the trial and hardship of exile, driven out from abiding in the inheritance of Yahweh. Yet in this he had not forsaken the principles of righteous living, and he cast his care upon God. It was during this time that he wrote many of the Psalms which mirror the innermost thoughts of Christ. Suffering and trial have an appointed place in the purpose of God. Those called upon to endure them for righteousness' sake can assure their hearts that they are sons of God. Compare Matthew 5, verses 10 to 12, Acts 5, verse 41, and 1 Peter 3, verse 14, and 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 14. Our aim in this lesson is to see how refusal to obey the word of God eventually brings disaster. 1 Samuel 26 to 31 and 2 Samuel 1. David takes refuge in Ziklag, 1 Samuel 26 and 27. The Ziphites again sought to betray David into Saul's hands, but instead, Saul was once more placed at David's mercy. David and his cousin Abishai invaded Saul's lines at night, but David refused to touch Yahweh's anointed. Saul awoke to see his spear and cruse of water in David's hand, and, confessing that David was more righteous than he returned to his place, 1 Samuel 26. David, despairing of Saul's future actions, judged that he would be more secure in the land of the Philistines, and he and his men and their households removed to Achish and Gath. Thereupon Saul sought David no more, chapter 27, verses 1 to 4. Perhaps for reasons of privacy, David asked Achish if he would appoint him a town to dwell in, and Achish gave him Ziklag, where he dwelt for 16 months. Now David was free to please himself. From this place, he and his men invaded the nations south of Judah as far as Egypt and left none alive to divulge what had happened. Achish, naturally curious, inquired where David had made his raids. David replied, "Against the south of Judah." From that, Achish assumed that David had totally forsaken his people and that he could now place full confidence in David. Apparently, he had lurking suspicions that David could become his enemy one day. No doubt he had heard the rumors about David being destined to become king of Israel. David marches with the Philistines, 1 Samuel 29. It came to pass that the Philistines mustered their forces to battle against Israel. David had won a place of affection and admiration in the heart of Achish, and he was invited to participate. David complied and marched with the Philistine host up the maritime of Israel to Shunem, while Saul gathered Israel together upon the mountains of Gilboa, chapter 28, verses 1 to 4, and chapter 29, verses 1 to 2. There can be no question that David would have proved an adversary to the Philistines had he been permitted to remain with them. His feelings for the name of God and his disdain for the uncircumcised, which he had uttered when he defeated Goliath, were unchanged. Compare chapter 17, verse 26, and verses 45 to 47. Moreover, his bitter lament upon hearing of Israel's defeat shows plainly where his allegiance lay. 2 Samuel 1, verses 19 to 21. When the other lords of the Philistines learned that David was marching with them, they summoned Achish and told him to send David back. When Achish protested David's loyalty, they were unimpressed. "Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place that thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men?" Verses 4 to 5. Besides fearing his valor, they could not trust him. Their fears were well grounded. Half apologetically, Achish informed David of the decision, and so the Philistines proceeded to Jezreel to confront Saul while David returned to Ziklag. Verses 6 to 11. Saul and the Witch, 1 Samuel 28. The sight of the gathering Philistines struck fear in the heart of the king of Israel. How different Saul was to David, he hurriedly searched for consolation and strength of Yahweh. But Yahweh answered him not, neither by dream, nor by Urim, nor by prophet. Verses 4 to 6. He was in a desperate plight. To whom could he go? Samuel was dead, and he himself had put away those who had familiar spirits. Verse 3, Leviticus 19, verse 31, and Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 to 14. In his extremity, Saul sought a woman with familiar spirits. Nearby at Endor, one was to hand, and, with tragic hypocrisy, the king of Israel disguised himself and wended his way at night across the Philistine lines to her house with two of his men. She was at first reluctant to comply with his wishes, remembering the edict of Saul and thinking that he had come to ensnare her. With the confusion that belongs to those that forsake Yahweh, Saul reassures her with an oath sworn in the name of Yahweh. The woman yielded to his request, and by, from the darkness, a figure appeared clad in a mantle. Saul perceived it was Samuel, verses 13 and 14, compare chapter 15, verse 27. Saul made request of Samuel as to what he should do, seeing God had departed from him, and he was fearful of the army of the Philistines. Saul had his worst fears confirmed. In a precise and detailed answer, Saul was told that on account of his disobedience, God had left him and the kingdom would be given to his neighbor, David. Moreover, Israel would suffer defeat the next day, and he and his sons would perish. With that, Saul collapsed and fell headlong on the earth, verses 15 to 20. Saul had departed from God's ways, and now he was left alone. What a tragic spectacle the king of Israel presents as he frantically seeks consolation. But it was too late, and the time of his judgment had come. It is wise to seek God while he may be found, and there is no more sure time than the present. We cannot afford to put off the things of God till tomorrow, as we do not know whether that day shall come. Saul's sin came to a head when he sought out the witch. When men depart irretrievably from the ways of God, God chooses their delusions and places stumbling blocks before them so that they might fall. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 to 12, Isaiah 66, verses 3 and 4, and John 12, verses 39 to 40. Thus, when wicked Saul sought Samuel, a vision of Samuel was sent, along with a prophecy that sealed his doom. When the witch saw Saul prostrate upon the floor and troubled of mind, it seems that she felt somewhat to blame. She told him that she had only obeyed his request. Perhaps she thought that she would suffer on account of the bad news. She suggested that Saul receive a morsel of bread to strengthen himself, but at first he refused. At length he agreed, and they did eat. Soberly Saul and his servants rose up and went their way in the night, with fears of the following day pressing heavily upon them. Verses 21 to 25. Saul's death, 1 Samuel 31. On the next day, the battle was joined, and Israel fled before the Philistines. The Philistines were determined to clinch victory by slaying the royal family of Israel. They followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, verses 1 to 2. At length, his three sons fell, and he became the chief mark of the archers and was sore wounded. Death stared Saul in the face, rather than giving the uncircumcised the satisfaction of slaying and mocking him. He called upon his armor-bearer to thrust him through. When he refused, Saul took a sword himself and fell upon it. The sight of his lord slain upon the battlefield induced Saul's armor-bearer to do likewise. The fateful news soon spread abroad, bringing panic and despair to Israel. But jubilation to the Philistines. The Philistines cut off Saul's head, and the gory trophy was paraded among their people, with the victory being attributed to their idols. His armor was put on display in the house of Ashtaroth, while his headless body was fastened to the wall of Beth-shan. How the glory of Israel was departed! Saul's defiance of God had brought shame upon the whole nation and the name of God. How different was this day to the one in which faithful David had slain Goliath! But all spirit was not lost. The valiant men of Jabesh-Gilead, whom Saul in better days had saved from the Amorites, 1 Samuel 11, arose and recovered the bodies of Saul and his sons from the wall of Bethshan and gave them an honorable burial in Jabesh. Tidings of Saul's death reached David, 1 Samuel 1. Meanwhile, David and his men had returned from the Philistines to find Ziklag burned to the ground and all its inhabitants taken away. Despair overcame his men, but David strengthened himself in his God, and all was recovered. 1 Samuel 30. 2 days later, a man wandered into David's camp with clothes rent and earth on his head. On learning that he came from the camp of Israel, David immediately asked how the battle went. The young man, an Amalekite, which nation Saul was commanded to eradicate, 1 Samuel 15, verse 3, recounted the story of Saul's death, claiming that he was responsible for finally killing King Saul. He handed David Saul's crown and bracelet as evidence, obviously hoping to find favor of David, but David was smitten with sorrow, not joy. He and his men mourned and wept and fasted until even, for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of Yahweh and for the house of Israel. Verse 12. The young man was duly slain for daring to stretch forth his hand and destroy Yahweh's anointed. David's lamentation over Saul and Jonathan reveals the greatness and graciousness of his character. He felt the shame upon Israel personally. The truth had been crushed before the enemy. There is a lesson in this. We should avoid bringing shame upon the great name we bear. The alien should never be placed in a position of gloating over the faults of those who bear Christ's name. Compare 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 to 8. Further, David extolled Saul's prowess in war and remembered only his virtues. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Verse 23. Even the daughters of Israel, who had at first incited Saul's jealousy of David, 1 Samuel 18, verses 6 to 7, were commanded to remember Saul's blessings. Verse 24. David's final words in his lamentation relate to his beloved friend Jonathan and are filled with anguish and tenderness. He speaks as though Jonathan were yet alive. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love was to me wonderful, passing the love of women. And then accepting tragic reality, how are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? Verses 26 to 27. Lessons for us. 1. Refusal to obey the word of God caused Saul to be forsaken in the hour of his greatest need. 2. When men depart irretrievably from the ways of God, God gives them up to their own delusions, that they should believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 to 12. 3. If instead we, like David, draw near to God, he will draw near to us. James 4, verse 8. There is no better time to learn to trust and obey God than youth, when the mind is unclouded with evil thoughts and habits and readily receives the impressions of the word. 4. David was very gracious towards even the man whose jealousy raged against him. It is a good thing to develop friendships in the truth, which will remain strong and inspiring to our faith in times of adversity, such as David's tender relationship to faithful Jonathan.